the Jesus series. Turn to the person next to you and say, the Jesus series. Pastor Pete's talking to his invisible friend. It's all right, Pastor Pete. The Jesus series. Okay, so this morning I'm going to set up this series and it'll be 9 weeks. You won't just be hearing from me. You will also be hearing from other members of Heart City as they share what Jesus means to them. And just as we did in our last series, we asked younger guys in our up-and-coming preachers to also share. Tag team preachers are going to be a part of this, some of the eldership team as well. These are some of the things we'll be covering over the next 9 weeks. This morning is an introduction, and we're also going to be looking at Jesus before he came to earth. It's called the pre-existence of Jesus. Another way of saying it is the pre-existed incarnate. What? Oh no, some big theological words. That's okay. The incarnate means Jesus when he came to earth. But what was Jesus doing before he came to earth? Did you know before Jesus was born as a little baby, he was actually active and working? Did you know that? We're going to look at that this morning, okay? I'm moving forward ahead too quickly here, but I'll keep that for the message. Week two, next week, we're going to be looking at the birth and the childhood of Jesus. There's not much about Jesus as a child. There's a little bit of information there. Or Jesus as a teenager. Or up until he was 30 years old, or 31, 32, when he started his ministry. There's not a lot of information in Scripture. But there are also a lot of other historical documents about the life and the times of Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus the Jew. Jesus born into a Jewish household. We're going to look at his upbringing. We're going to look at the historical Jesus. What he did, what he would have done as a young boy. The Bible tells us that Jesus every Saturday, he went to the synagogue. That was part of his custom. We'll look a little bit about discipleship. Jesus being a disciple and then Jesus making disciples. In week three, we'll be looking at the calling, the anointing, the baptism, the temptation, and the early ministry of Jesus. So we're going to break this down. We're going to give a deep dive into the life of Jesus. We're also going to be looking at what did Jesus say? I mean, his words are so important, aren't they? Why did Jesus say what he said? How did Jesus say what he said? So we'll be looking at the parables. The parables of Jesus. We'll look at that in week four. We'll be looking at the I am sayings of Jesus. Do you remember those ones? John 15, I think it is. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep, of the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, I am the true vine. In John chapter 15, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Fruit. We don't need more fruit loops in the church. But we need more fruit in our lives, yeah? Not fruit cakes. No more fruit cakes, no. We need fruit. The fruit of the evidence. That's the evidence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit transforming our lives. We begin to produce fruit when we put our roots into good soil. All right, in week six, we're going to look at signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Why did Jesus perform signs and wonders? Well, the Bible tells us, particularly in the book of John, these point to something greater than just Jesus' humanity. They pointed to the fact of his divinity, that he was the Son of God, and yet he was part of the Trinity, right? Let me ask you this question. How many times in the Bible do you read the word Trinity? Anybody know? Zero. Thank you, Helen. That word's not in the Bible. It just is a theological concept which describes the union between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we know that John, when he wrote his gospel, he says, I write these words so that you may believe. That's why he wrote them. That's why he tells about the wonderful miracles and the signs and wonders which point to the Father. Okay, in week 7, we'll be looking at the humanity of Christ. Wow, this is going to be exciting. Jesus was God, but he was also man. What is the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept, right? Jesus wept. John 11 verse 35. Thanks, Pastor Pete. Jesus had compassion. Just before that, he had compassion. He heard that Lazarus had died. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus ate food. Did you know that? Jesus ate food. Jesus was human like you and I, but he was God, yet without sin. Human mother, different father, right? Could Jesus have got married? Ask yourself that question. Why didn't Jesus get married? Think about that. Why did Jesus not get married? Why? Because he was of the seed of God. How can you combine the seed of God with the seed of a fallen person? Jesus could not have got married. He was holy. He was set aside by his Father. He could not be combined with a human, if you know what I mean. Because he was of God, he could not, what's the word I'm trying to say? he could not reproduce. Because he was of God, of the seed of God, not of the seed of man, of the seed of God. Okay, I didn't explain that very well, but we'll explain that much better when we look at his humanity. In week 8, this is the week before Easter. It's called the Passion Week. We're going to look at the Passion Week, where Jesus made his way to Jerusalem. We'll do that in week 8. And then in week 9, which will be Easter Friday and Resurrection Sunday, we'll be looking at the crucifixion. And then we'll look on Resurrection Sunday at the resurrection of Jesus. Are you excited about this? It's going to be good, isn't it? When last did we do a series of messages on our Savior and our Lord? Yeah, we refer to Jesus a lot. We talk about Jesus a lot. We read the scriptures about Jesus. But what about Jesus? What do we know? Let's get to know all we know about Jesus. Amen? And I promise you this, it's going to transform your life. It's going to transform your life as you get to know Jesus more. I really believe that. And the Lord put this on my heart when I was down in Esperance on holiday. I woke up one morning. I said, Lord, this year, between now and Easter, what do you want us to speak on? And I felt the Lord saying, Jesus, speak on Jesus. Amen? I love this. All right, cool. So this morning, fasten your seatbelts. Are you ready? Click. Click those seatbelts on. Because I'm going to hit you with a lot of scriptures. You got your Bible? If you don't have your Bible, turn to the screen. Can I encourage you in the next few weeks, bring your Bible to church. Yeah? Bring it. Bring your Bible. So this morning, we are going to look at the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at it from the perspective from John, the theologian, not John the Baptist, but John the theologian. And we know that John the theologian was the one that Jesus was really close to. We know that John the theologian, we know that he was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelations and 1 and 2 and 3 John. We know that John looked after Jesus' mother. Did you know that? After Jesus died, we know that John was the last one to die out of the apostles. He was not killed by the authorities. He survived, the Bible tells us. This is John that we read about. John the apostle. I want to make this statement and think about it for a second. Before Jesus was, he was. Does that make sense? Before Jesus was the little baby in the manger, he was. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we might think about it in a little way, but this morning let's think about it in a deeper sense. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end. Jesus. This is Jesus we're talking about, the Son of God. We know in John chapter 17, verse 5, like I said this morning, we're going to go through a number of scriptures. So Jesus himself spoke about the fact that he existed before he came to this earth. We read in John chapter 17, verse 5. We've got the one, Max. John 17, verse 5. And this is before he is beamed up to heaven. This is before he goes up to heaven. This is what he says. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Isn't that good? I'll read it again. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you even before the world existed. That's clear evidence, isn't it? Do we believe everything that Jesus said? 100%. Did Jesus say he was going to be, did he say he's come to take away the sins of the world? Yes, he did. Did Jesus say that one day he will be taken by the Roman authorities, that people would deny him, that he'd be put on a cross and die and after 3 days rise again? Did he say that? Yes, he did. Did Jesus say, I'm coming back. I'll be back. Yes, he did, didn't he? He said, I'm coming back. He said he's coming back to us. What Jesus said, we can believe to be true. 100%. Jesus said that he pre-existed. He was there before creation. Before the creation of the world, he experienced the glory of heaven. And the book of Philippians tells us that he left. I think I've got it here actually somewhere. Philippians 2 verse 6. And though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's good, isn't it? Philippians chapter 2. It's a wonderful scripture. At the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus emptied himself. The Greek word for that is the word kenosis. He emptied himself of his divinity. He came to this earth as a man. But then the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4 that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and anoints him to do the things he needed to do. So Jesus has always been here, there, here, here, there. Jesus has always been. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesus has always been. We read this in, like I said, the book of John specifically this morning. We look at John chapter 3. Can you silence that thing? Okay, we can work on that. John chapter 3 verse 13. It says this. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. For the bread of God is he who comes from heaven and gives life to the world. The only one who has descended from heaven is the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, Jesus. Jesus came from heaven. Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says this. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So we know Jesus was on assignment. He didn't just come willy-nilly down to this earth. No, he was sent from his Father. He had work to do, didn't he? We read that all the way through the Gospels. We know that Jesus says in John chapter 14, 15, 16, he says, I come and I do only what I see my Father doing. I say only what I hear my Father saying to me. At the end of his life, what does Jesus say? Not my will, but let your will be done. He prays it in Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. That's why we have the Beatitudes, the story at the Sermon on the Mount called the Beatitudes, where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is like this and the kingdom of God is like that. Why? It was his point of reference. It's what all he ever knew was heaven. Think about that. For eternity, all Jesus knew was the glory of heaven. That's why when Philippians tells us that he humbled himself, wow, that is an understatement. He humbled himself to come to this world to save us of our sin. And that's why the angels sing, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. I had a bit of a revelation of that this last Christmas. Why were the angels so excited about the fact that Jesus was coming to this earth? Do you know why? Because they had seen him in heaven. They knew about his wonder. They knew about his power. They knew about his glory. And now they're saying, yes, this earth gets to experience some of that. That's why they sing glory to the newborn king. It said multitudes of angels came and they sang about how wonderful Jesus was. In John chapter 6, verse 62, it says this. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? We know that Jesus said that, yeah, he was there before and he had come down. John chapter 8, verse 23, he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That's why when he came and he saw the disciples arguing about who is the greatest, man, he got angry. Or when he came to his father's house and he saw that they had turned it into a marketplace. It says he went in there and he overturned the tables and he chased the people out. He said, you've turned my house, should be a house of prayer. You've turned it into a marketplace. Why? Because his point of reference was heaven. Jesus knew his Father intimately. He had come from heaven. In 16 verse 28, John chapter 16, he says, I came from the Father into this world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. Jesus knew exactly what he was about. Jesus knew exactly what his mission was. You can read that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, from Isaiah 61. Jesus was on this earth on purpose. From the moment his feet hit the ground in the morning, he knew why he was here. He was only here for a short time, but he knew what his Father had sent him to do. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8, verse 58 and 59, Jesus saying, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, and the Jews got really upset by this, didn't they? He really upset the Jews, and they said, blasphemy. And they wanted to stone him. They're saying, how can this man claim as our father Abraham, who said, when he asked God, who are you, God said, I am. Now Jesus claims to be the I am. He really upset the Jews and they said he was blaspheming. They picked up stones in verse 59 to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and he went out of the temple. So let me ask you this question. Think about this. What was Jesus doing before he came to this earth? What was Jesus doing in his pre-existent state? What was he up to? Well, there's many clues in Scripture, and we won't be able to look at all of them today because there are thousands of books written on the subject, on the pre-existence of Christ, the pre-incarnation. You can read up on it if you like. There's so much on it, and today we're just kind of touching the surface of it as we introduce this topic. We know this, that Jesus was not passive. Jesus was actively working alongside the Father and the Holy Spirit. We know this very clearly from Scripture. So we see several passages all through Scripture, particularly in the Gospels and in Paul's writings. We can see what Jesus was doing. So firstly, we see Jesus as the creator. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. We're just going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. A bit of a mouthful that, wasn't it? In the beginning was the Word. Where else have you heard this similar scripture being read? Well, we know this is one of the Gospels, so this is right at the start of the New Testament. We know that John did write this book probably only 30 years after Jesus actually had gone up to heaven. But we know this in the beginning, Genesis. You remember Genesis? There was something very similar. In the beginning, God, what did he do? Created the heavens and the earth. What does God say in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26? Do we have that one? Awesome, Max. You're doing a fantastic job. Let us make mankind in our image. Let me just stop there for a second. Let us, right? Plural. Who's the other people? Who's he making it with? It's a collaboration. God wasn't just doing this on his own. Let us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's who he's referring to, Jesus. So even from Genesis chapter 1, we can see Jesus being there, being identified as part of this creation process. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So we know this was a joint effort with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I love this. So we know that that word there in the beginning was the Word. It's the Greek word logos. That's a title given to Jesus, the Word. The Word became flesh. The Word of God became flesh. If you think about this, right? Jesus is different from us in many ways, but in this sense, what does John chapter 3 verse 16 say? For God so loved the world. He's what, Marlene? Say that again very loudly. You just said it before. He's
only begotten Son.
Only begotten Son. You said it three times. I'm going to put the microphone there. You said you can't say it, but that's all right. You did say it, yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only created Son. No, no, no. Begotten. The only one who came from him. Jesus. No one else. Came from God. Yeah, God breathed his life into Adam. But Jesus was the only begotten. What does begotten mean? Begotten means you've come from that person. Begot. He said, you know, the Adam begot Cain and Abel, and this one begot this, and that begot that. You can read that in Genesis and Exodus, Deuteronomy, the genealogies. Jesus was the only begotten, not created. The only begotten Son, that whoever, that's why, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17 says, for God, for Jesus did not come into this world to condemn this world, but to be its Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So we see this creation linked all the way back to Genesis, John chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. Isn't that a fantastic parallel? We see Jesus there. We know the Holy Spirit was there in Genesis as well, don't we? It says, the Spirit, what was it doing? Hovering over the deep. The Spirit was there. Jesus was active, part of the graphic design team that put together the colors. Imagine. Jesus, he's creative, man. We know Jesus, when he was on this earth, his profession, he was a carpenter. And we'll look at this later on as well. But Jesus was a carpenter. He was a creator. He was a creative person. This came out of the heart of his Father. Jesus was creating alongside the Father and alongside the Holy Spirit. I love this. One of my favorite scriptures, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It says, by all things, for by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all these things were created through him and for him. We sing that song. Through you, I can do anything. And that song. I can do all things. You gives me strength. It's from that scripture there, Colossians chapter 1. In him, through him, all things have been created for him. And verse 17, listen to this. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Don't you love that? If it wasn't for Jesus, this world would have fallen apart. Completely fallen apart at the seams. Jesus has got this creation element to him. Then he's got this preserving of creation element. Preserving creation. That's one of his roles, is to preserve creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him. I love this. Isn't that a great scripture? Isn't this good to know this morning? This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the Jesus. Not just the little baby in the manger, or the man that did some things on this earth, then was killed by Romans, who rose again. This is the Jesus of the Bible, the pre-existent, the one that was there before the baby in the manger. He was active. He was working. And we know that today. What is Jesus doing? The Bible says he's seated on the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? Making intercession for us. Isn't that beautiful? Even though from the start we see he was helping in the creation process and the holding together of things, now he says he's there. He's making intercession for us. That's how much he loves us. And he's waiting for that day when his Father says, my son, I want you to go back there. I want you to bring my people home. We're waiting for that day, aren't we? That Maranatha, we say, come, Jesus, come. Amen. We're waiting, Lord. Come quickly. We need you. But in the process, the Bible says that Jesus is the one. He's holding this world together. He's holding it together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Hebrews chapter 2. Isn't that beautiful? Through Jesus, the world was created. Did you realize how much Jesus was involved in the creation of this world? There are many more scriptures. 1 Corinthians, Romans. It's all over the place, all through the New Testament. How Jesus was so intrinsically, vividly involved in our creation, in this world's creation. He is part of that blueprint, a part of that architectural blueprint for this world. And the Bible says now he's holding all things together. I love this. So this morning, I mean, what does this mean for us? What's the importance of knowing that Jesus had a pre-existence? I mean, that's a theological discussion. But what does that mean for us? It means this, that God has a plan. Did you know that? God has a plan for this world. God sequentially has worked things through. We don't have time to look at that this morning. But the Lord is working. The Lord is involved. Even in and through Corona, the Lord is working. We're going to look for him. We're not to get anxious. We need to look for him in this. Lord, where are you in all of this, God? How are we to respond in and through this current season we're going through? How can we bring glory to you, Lord, through this? We're going to be asking those questions. But we can know that the Lord has a plan. He has a plan for our lives. And we all know that scripture so well, don't we? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. How's it go? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to hope and a future. So even though Jesus was involved in the past, he's involved in the everyday, and he's involved in the future. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today. In Spanish, para siempre, forever, forever. He's involved in the forever. I was saying to somebody this week, they're considering a few things, about some decisions to make. And I said this scripture to them, man makes plans in his heart, but it's God who determines the way they go or directs their steps. It's from Proverbs. We make plans in our hearts and we might try with all we can to effect the ultimate outcome, the eventual outcome. We say, Lord, 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 we want this, we want this, we want this, we want this. And our intentions might be good. And even with our positive confession, yeah, which is important to have a positive confession, but just be careful that you're positive in, with your positive confession, you don't try and manipulate the outcome. Because it's God, right? At the end of the day, it's God. You have plans in your heart. It's God who directs your steps, not you. When we do, we muck it up. Positive confession, wonderful thing to have. In faith, yeah, we believe. We believe. Come on. We're going to have the two together. But still believing at the end of the day, Jesus, yeah? God will have his way. God's will be done. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If you read the book of Revelations, which I haven't done many times, to be honest. I've read it a few times. But I remember one summer, I just could not stop reading the book of Revelations. I didn't understand it, but I made notes. And from the notes that I took down, the word victory and overcome just kept coming over and over again through the book of Revelations. Who is it that gets the victory? Jesus. He is the one who, he's the Lamb of God who opens the seal. He's the one who overcomes. He's the one, not us. That's sometimes hard to hear, isn't it? Sometimes it might not be looking like you are successful. Sometimes. But that's just how, sometimes the Lord works that way. But yes, he does have great intentions for us to move forward with our lives and yes, to be blessed and to have favor in all those things, to be abundantly blessed. Yes, he does have that for us too. But what he also does have, he has a plan. And sometimes that plan it doesn't always look that way. Look at Job. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at all the 11 apostles who were martyred for their faith. But of the blood of the martyrs, many have said that the blood of the martyrs cries out to the Lord. It built the church. In hindsight, during those times, as they were burning Christians, as they were feeding Christians to the lions in Rome, during the persecution under Nero, they weren't looking blessed, were they? But God had a long-term plan. Guess what? Your life, you're part of that long-term plan. Sometimes we lose perspective of that. I believe the Lord is bringing us back to what is important during this time of Corona. I think we've all said it, haven't we? And the word the Lord gave me 2 years ago said, the foolish man builds his house on the sand. The wise man, what does he do? Builds his house on the rock. What is the rock? The word of God. Because before that it said, whoever hears these words of mine is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Whoever does not hear these words is like a foolish man. When the wind and the corona and the things come and the trials of this life, some falter. But those whose lives are built on the rock, they will stand. And guess what? Who cares about corona? Our life is in the hands of God. I mean, if I die by a shark attack, if I die by corona, if I die by something else, my days are allotted, the Bible says. God knows every single day that I'll live. I'm not afraid. Even if you've been given a death sentence, like Pastor Will Murray, what a wonderful testimony that was, that last year of his life. As he kept saying, I'm going to serve the Lord, regardless of what they've told me about this cancer. I'm going to serve God until my very breath expires out of my lungs. I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't understand this, but I know it's part of God's plan. He said that. I'm going to keep serving God and let this be a testimony to the end. God has a plan. Amen. God's plan. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We're to continue being obedient to Him, following His word. This morning, just to wrap this up, I just want to read this text to you again, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and then verse 14 to 18. And let these words, as you hear them, just resonate in your heart this morning. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In Him was life. Come on. We've come to know life, haven't we? And the life was the light, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that good? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you are the light of the world, didn't He? We are the light of the world. We carry the light. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. This is John's first hour account. Glory as only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, in parenthesis it says, John bore witness about Him and cried out, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. You think about that. Through Jesus, we have received that which we did not deserve. That's grace. Receiving something you don't deserve, that's grace, isn't it? We have received that from God in the person of Jesus. For the law, verse 17, was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. In the person of Jesus, we have a snapshot of God. That's basically what that's saying, isn't it? In the person of Jesus, who is equal parts of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have seen God in the person of Jesus as He came to this world. And you know, I just pray that through the series and my heart's desire for myself, it's not just to know about Jesus. I mean, we can tell you all the cultural, historical facts about Him, and there's many, many books. But to actually know Him, that's the desire of our hearts as we share this, as we go on this journey together in the Jesus series, is to know Him, is to know Him more. I don't know where you're at the moment in your journey with the Lord. Maybe you've become a bit stagnant. Maybe you lost a bit of momentum in your walk with the Lord. I pray that in this series, as we look to Jesus, that we'll gain that momentum, that spiritual momentum again, that we will grow in our faith. John the Baptist, he felt too unworthy, didn't he? He felt too unworthy to baptize Jesus. He recognized Jesus was from God. He said, look, the Son of Man who comes to take away the sin of the world, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie. And then Jesus says, come, please baptize me. And John goes, no, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. And then John eventually does. In humility, he baptizes Jesus. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, onto Jesus after that. And then John, I love this about John. You know, John, he reflected. I mean, he was not the light, but he reflected all the praise and the glory and the honor to Jesus, didn't he? He wasn't concerned about his disciples following Jesus. He said, no, go follow him. Don't follow me. Follow that guy. He pointed to Jesus. In this series, that's my desire, that whoever's up here sharing this series will be pointing to him. Amen? That's the goal. Can I encourage you, as you go into this week, read John chapter 1, if you can. Read it. Read Philippians chapter 2. Read Colossians chapter 1 and 2. Read these wonderful scriptures about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus. It will really encourage you in your faith. It's wonderful. This series is going to be wonderful for all of us. I can't wait to see the fruit that's going to come out of this series in each one of our lives. Amen. So this morning, I was actually going to look at prophecy, but I've run out of time. So next week, we'll look at what was actually prophesied about the Messiah to come. Because as we know, Jesus came out of the Jewish background, and they were long awaiting a Messiah. What did that look like for them? And then how did Jesus, when he came onto the scene, how is that different? We'll look at that next week. And those prophecies in Micah and Isaiah and all the way through the Old Testament, we'll look at a few of those. We'll look at his birth and his childhood again next week. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you, God, for your word. Lord, your word is powerful. And Lord, even though some of these theological concepts can sometimes confuse us, at the end of the day, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for this world. We thank you, Jesus, that you were there drawing up the blueprints before this world even came into existence. And Jesus, along with your Father and the Holy Spirit, you created this world as a contact point for us to know you, Lord. Lord, you brought this world into being so there can be a place for people to live and to be a contact point for us to know you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that, God. And Lord, we want to pray today that even through this series, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, to see more of you, Lord. That the eyes of our hearts be opened, Lord. Oh God, we want to know you, Jesus, not just about you. We want to know you, Lord. We want to know you more, Jesus. Oh God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that one of your roles is to reveal Jesus to us. As your word says, to reveal and remind us who Jesus is and the teachings of Jesus. Holy Spirit, in the next 9 weeks leading to Easter, Lord, teach us. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Open our eyes to see who Jesus is all over again. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning. Amen. Well, God bless you this morning. As you heard, there is a wonderful lunch out there prepared by the Hammond Park Connect Group with Ron and Lett. Please thank them. You can give a donation if you'd like to do that today, but there's no compulsion to do that. And next week, please sign up to our marriage course, The Story of Marriage. You can do that online or there today. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.